Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Beauty for Ashes with your host, Prophet Kyle T. Miller.
He gives beauty for ashes, strength for fear, gladness for mourning, peace for
good evening, good evening, good evening. I'm your host, Prophet Kyle Miller. The Bible says in Isaiah 61 and 3 that the Lord Jesus will give us beauty for ashes, an oil of joy for mourning, and a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Amen. So no matter how rough this week has been, maybe you've had a lot of challenges and things that you've had to deal with. Maybe you've been in a struggle trying to get things to work out. But God wants you to know that he's going to give you an oil of joy for mourning and a garment of praise for that spirit of heaviness. Amen. Amen. Well, it's so good to be with you this evening. I have a topic tonight I want to exhort you on. I just want to encourage you. You know, we get bombarded with so many negative things during the week, and maybe the boss is acting crazy, kids acting crazy, the wife, the husband, the dog acting crazy. You know, we have all these different challenges of things that we're dealing with, and sometimes the enemy just heaps up so much negativity on us that we almost feel overwhelmed. But I just wanted to encourage you tonight and give you some things to stand on, some scriptures to stand on. And what I wanted to talk to you tonight about is hope. So I'm going to teach for about 30 minutes, 30 to 35 minutes, and then I'll open the phone lines and I'll minister prophetically to you and pray and whatever other things I can do to bless you. You can call in at 347-996-3442. That's 347-996-3442 if you're listening online. And then some of you may have already be called in and you're waiting, listening to the show. So going to encourage you. I wanted to talk a little bit tonight about hope. Hope. What is hope? You know, a lot of times I think we get hope and faith confused, because hope is actually a component of faith. You know, the scripture says faith is a substance of things hoped for. It's an evidence of things not seen. And sometimes I think we kind of gloss over that. We say, well, faith is a substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. But what the Lord has really been causing me to do is a word study on that word hope and what hope actually is, because what I really do believe is that a lot of times we fail to access things from God because we don't have hope. We don't have hope. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about hope. We may have faith or we may have belief, but we don't have hope. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about what hope is. So I looked up the word hope in the Greek concordance, the Strong's Concordance, and it comes from a Greek word, ellipse, which is a derivative of a word, elipo, which is E-L-P-O, and it means to anticipate, to welcome. And that's very important, to anticipate, to welcome. So one of the components of faith is actually an anticipation. You know, so when we pray, we seek the Lord, we believe his promises, we read his scriptures, one of the things that the Lord is wanting us to do is to anticipate. You know, he wants us to actually anticipate that something is going to happen. It's like when you were a kid and, you know, you were waiting for Christmas to come. And so you were anticipating. I think about my brothers and I when it was Christmas Eve. You know, a lot of times what we would do is we would actually go to sleep earlier, you know, hoping that Christmas would come earlier, so we would go to sleep earlier. And I remember, you know, when we were little boys, how excited we would be. I mean, so we would call ourselves trying to go to sleep, but we would sit up all night talking, hoping that the next day would come because we were so excited about what was going to happen at Christmas. And that's how the Lord wants us to be. You know, it's like just as we were having that anticipation that something good was going to happen. You know, that's what God wants it to be like in our lives, is that we always have an anticipation that something good is going to happen. You know, and I really do think that our life experiences actually condition us to get away from hope, because, you know, a lot of times, you know, even when we're children, you know, we'll hear it from, you know, well-meaning adults, and they'll say, you know, well, don't get your hopes up, you know. But God actually wants us to get our hopes up, because it's the hope which is the anticipation that actually allows us to access what it is that we're believing God for. So let's look at that scripture again, Hebrews 11:1. It says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for. So faith is a substance, okay? And what is that substance? The substance of the thing is a thing of something that's hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So once we see it, we've received it. And once we've received it, it's not hope anymore. You know, there's no reason to believe anymore or to have hope, because we've already received what it is that we've asked God for. But what hope does, hope is actually the element where we actually have an earnest expectation that something is actually going to happen. So what that means is, so when we pray to the Lord, you remember the scripture says in Mark 11, it says, I think it's 22:23, it says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, if you believe that you receive them, you should have them. So in other words, when we believe that we already received what it is that we prayed, then we see the manifestation. And hope is that expectation that then once we've prayed for it, that it's actually going to happen. You know, sometimes people say, oh, well, you know, I'm praying, you know, and we'll just see what God does. But that's not going to access the things of God. How we access the things of the Lord is by having a hope, an expectation that what we pray for is actually going to come to pass. Romans 5 says it this way. It says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So it says that the love of God is in our hearts. And it's that love that allows us to maintain a hope. And God is saying that if we expect him to do something, then God says he's going to make sure that we're not ashamed. It says right here in Romans 5:5, it says, and hope maketh not ashamed. So God is saying that if you believe me and you have an expectation that what you've prayed is actually going to happen, God is saying, I will not allow you to be ashamed. You know, so sometimes we say, oh, well, you know, I hear people say this sometimes. They'll say, well, oh, you know, I've just decided I'm not going to hope and expect on anything, because that way, if it doesn't happen, I won't be disappointed. You know, but that's not how God wants us to pray. That's not how he wants us to believe his word. God is saying, I want you to expect that something is going to happen. And God is saying that it's literally in that expectation, when you're expecting it's going to happen, that it then manifests itself. Amen? Amen. So that's very, very important. Romans 8:24-25, it says it this way, for we are saved by hope. So we couldn't even receive Jesus Christ unless we had hope. It's something was on the inside of us. You know, when you received and you confessed Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you believed and you hoped that things were going to turn around. Maybe you accepted the Lord during a challenging time in your life, or maybe you accepted the Lord in a recognition that you knew things needed to change or needed to be better in your life. And so you had a hope. You know, I have an expectation that when I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior, that things are going to get better in my life. I have an expectation. And then, you know, the Lord said, you know, back in Romans 5, he says that when you have that hope, I'm going to make sure that you're not ashamed. You know, I'm going to make sure that if you're expecting from me, I'm going to make sure that you're not ashamed. You know, so we have to abolish this old way of thinking where we say, oh, I'm not going to get my hopes up, because if I get my hopes up and it doesn't happen, then I won't be disappointed. The Lord says, no. He says, if you believe my word and you stand on my word and you expect my word, you will not be disappointed. You will not be ashamed. Amen. So in Romans 8, starting in verse 24-25, it says, well, we're saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. Remember, we said faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So here again in Romans, it's clarifying that. It says, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. Okay, so part of our expectation is for us to expect something that hasn't even happened. You know, so I don't know, maybe you're believing God for healing in your body. And the Lord says that, okay, you pray and you believe God in faith, and then you hope, meaning that you expect that it's actually going to happen. You get excited. Oh, I prayed that God was going to heal me. So, man, now I'm looking forward to God healing me. Okay? He said, but hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? You know, so if I'll read that again, for what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? So what is there to expect once you've received it? You know, people say, well, I'll believe it when I see it, you know. But there is an element of us seeing it and seeing it through the eyes of the Spirit, but not in the natural. You know, he's saying that we should have an expectation of believing God and to receive something that we have not even seen. Amen. So I just want to encourage you, you know, to have hope. You know, I call this message High Hopes. I want you to get your hopes up. You know, we've heard for so long, you know, don't get your hopes up. But what I want to admonish you and encourage you, get your hopes up. Something good is going to happen to you. Great things are going to happen to you. God's got good blessings for you. You know, he's working out things on your behalf. You know, even when you think things are at their worst, God is behind the scenes working things out. And if you just keep believing him and keep hoping and keep expecting that something good is going to happen, I promise you, something good will happen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So keep hoping. Keep praying. Keep believing. Keep expecting God to do good things in your life. Amen? So Romans 25 of that scripture says, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we have patience to wait for it. I'm going to read that again. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So then with patience we wait for it. So he's saying that we continually expect it to happen, and then that's where the patience comes in, where we have to just kind of wait for it to happen as we expect God to do it in our lives. Amen. So, you know, sometimes, you know, there's a patience involved, you know, where we're standing in faith for something and we're expecting. But in the meantime, while we're waiting for the manifestation of it to happen, we have to execute patience, you know. And it's like, okay, Lord, I don't know what's going on. I know this is contrary to what I've been praying for. But, Lord, I'm going to continue to expect that things are going to get better anyway. Amen. I'm going to continue to expect. And I promise you, if you keep expecting that things are going to get better, they will get better. They will get better, because one of the tools of the enemy is to get us disappointed, to get us distracted, to get us disillusioned to the point to where we no longer have an expectation that God will do what he said he will do. You know, and I just feel like that there's people that are listening tonight, and it's like the enemy has just taken your hope away, and you feel like you're in this hole, this cesspool, and you don't think that things are ever going to get better. But I just want to encourage you and let you know that things are going to get better in your life, and that you can have a hope and an earnest expectation. Amen. So if there's those of you out here, I just want to pray for you now. Some of you are feeling disillusioned, and you're like, Lord, I want to believe, but you're like Peter. You're like, Lord, I want to believe, but help my unbelief. Amen. But God says if you just continue to hope and you'll continue to expect that things will get better, then they'll get better. I want to pray for you. If there's those of you now, you feel disillusioned and you're like, Lord, I need my hope back. I need to get some hope. I want to get excited again about you. I want to get excited about believing for the things of God. I know that there's things that you promised me in your word, or there may have been things that you promised me through the word of prophecy. And Lord, I want to hold on to my hope. I know that your word says that I will not be ashamed. I will not be ashamed if I put my hope in you. And I want to pray for you. So if that's you and you believe in the Lord and you've been feeling a little disillusioned and you feel like you need to get your hope back, I'm going to pray for you now, okay? And so as a sign of faith, you know, you can just lift up your hand. If you're driving, don't lift your hands. Lift up your heart. But if you're somewhere where you can lift up your hands, just lift up your hands, and I'm going to pray for you now. And you say, well, Brother Kyle, why should I lift up my hands? Well, we lift up our hands, that's a surrender. That's like, okay, Lord, I'm surrendering this whole situation to you. Amen. I'm going to pray for you now. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the people who are listening right now. And there are those that have been disillusioned, Father, because they've just been so overwhelmed with so much negativity. But, Father, by your word and by your spirit, I just speak and decree that you're going to impart into them a new level of hope. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that it's that hope that causes us not to be ashamed in you. And, Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're going to elevate their faith. And, Father, I just release all disillusionment. I release them from every spirit of disappointment, every spirit of distraction, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that you would just cover, that you would just cover the people, Lord, with a spirit of hope, Lord, with a spirit of excitement, with a spirit of expectation that they know that something good is going to happen, Father. And Lord, by your spirit, Lord, I just impart hope into the people's lives, Lord. Just I release the heaviness. I release it, Lord. Loose them, Lord, from heaviness, Lord. Loose them for heaviness. And Father, I just commission your angels now to just go forth and minister to them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. And there are several of you right now that the Lord is releasing you from the spirit of heaviness, even as the word says that God will give us a beauty for ashes, an oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The Lord says, I'm releasing you from the spirit of heaviness, and I'm going to cause you to walk in a new level of joy. And God said, you're going to be joyful in me. For the Lord says, I'm even going to be known as the God of the turnaround in your life. For the Lord says, I'm going to turn around your marriages. I'm going to turn around your health. I'm going to turn around your heart, and your desires are going to become more aligned with my purpose and my will. For the Lord says, I'm covering you with my grace, and I'm covering you with my spirit, and I'm covering you with my anointing. And the Lord says, I will not allow you to fall, for I've got you in my hands, and I love you with a perfect love, and I will not allow you to fail, says the Spirit of the living God. Amen, 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 amen. All righty. So Romans 15 and 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Okay, so now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. You know, there's something about when we have a hope and we have an expectation, that then God then fills us with joy and peace, you know, and we're filled with that peace because we're believing. And the scripture then goes on to say that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So I pray, Lord, that everyone that's listening, even right now, that we would abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost, that we would abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Just repeat that after me. Just say, Lord, I decree and declare that I abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's a powerful scripture. That may be a scripture that you may want to meditate on. That's Romans 15 and 13. Now the God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, Colossians 1 and 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, man, I love that. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Just confess that. Confess that. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Yeah, that's right. Confess it again. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Say that one more time. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Do you realize that Christ is dwelling on the inside of you? Christ is on the inside of us. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. So how can I have depression? How can I be bombarded with sadness? How can I be bombarded with all these negative things when the scripture says that when I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior, that Christ is in me. Christ is in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen, amen. So if you didn't get anything out of my teaching tonight, that's one thing I want you to get, is that Christ in me, the hope of glory. I want you to just go around confessing that. When you're walking around the house, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Anytime the kids start acting crazy, Christ in me, the hope of glory. When your spouse is acting crazy, Christ in me, the hope of glory. When the dog is acting a fool, Christ in me, the hope of glory. When the boss is talking crazy, Christ in me, the hope of glory. When somebody's getting on your nerves, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Man, so often we don't remember that Christ is in us. Christ is in us. And if Christ is dwelling on the inside of us, how can we not have hope? How can we not have hope? You know, you talk to someone who's dealing in depression, or people, you know, who are on the verge or who committed suicide, typically what you'll find is that they've lost their hope. They've lost their hope. You know, so we have to maintain that hope. You know, we have to persevere. We have to hold on to our hope. Amen. Because it's important. And one way in which we do it is by reminding ourselves that Christ is living on the inside of us. You know, the scripture says it this way, that the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is now residing on the inside of us. The same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is now residing on the inside of us. I mean, can you imagine that? The same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is now residing on the inside of us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, 1 Corinthians 9 and 10. Or saith he it altogether for our sakes, no doubt this is written, that he that plows shall plow in hope, and he that threshes in hope shall be partaker of his hope. Now, what that scripture is talking about when he says that plow should plow in hope, and he that threshes in hope should partaker of his hope. You know, plowing, you know, is part of what we do, or what the farmers did to get the soil ready to seed in the ground. In order to thresh, you know, when they would thresh, that was when after they had gotten the wheat, they would take the wheat and they would thresh it, where they would separate, you know, the husk part of the wheat from the actual wheat that was used to make grain. And so when he says that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be a partaker of his hope, what he's saying is that, you know, in all of these acts that we do, we should do it in hope. You know, I'll give you an example. Okay, you go to work, and you work, you know, whatever your pay period is. If you get paid at the end of the week, you get paid every 2 weeks, you get paid at the end of the month. So you go and you work. And when you work, you work, you know, with the expectation, the hope, that at the end of that week, the end of the 2 weeks, the end of the month, that you'll receive a paycheck, you know. And you have that hope and that expectation. And that expectation a lot of times comes with excitement, because you begin to start thinking about all of the different things that you're going to buy and you're going to take care of when you receive that paycheck at the end of the week or the end of the month or whenever you get paid. And so this is giving that same analogy. He's saying that, you know, for our sakes, no doubt this is written, that he that plows should plow in hope. And so he's saying, you know, when you're working, you know, you should work in hope. And he's saying the same thing about the things of God. If we're to trust and believe in God, and we believe his word, then we should do it in hope, with the expectation that he's actually going to do something. And, you know, this is so, 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 so important to me. I think, you know, some of you who listen to me, you're familiar with my background. Some of you may not. But I went to Fuller Theological Seminary. And Fuller Theological Seminary is considered by some to be, I guess, the Harvard of seminaries. Just as a kind of a backstory, it's kind of funny because, you know, God kind of has a way of getting us where we need to be. And so I was in Bible college at Fred Price's Bible College, MTI Ministry Training Institute at Crenshaw Christian Center. And so this lady came to our class, and she spoke on Fuller Theological Seminary, you know. And so afterwards, me and some of my friends, you know, we would go get something to eat over in Englewood, because it was like a late night diner there, and we would go after class, get something to eat, and talk and stuff. And so we were all sitting there talking, and everybody was like, you know, it was kind of interesting that this lady from Fuller Theological came to our school, and they was like, I wonder who's going to Fuller Theological Seminary. And so all my friends, everybody just turned their head and looked at me. And I just busted out laughing. I said, you guys are crazy. I'm not going to seminary. At this time, I already had a master's degree, and that's a whole another backstory because I never had any intentions of going to college anyway. You know, I was a singer and songwriter, and so my thought was that I was going to be the next Michael Jackson, but that never happened. And so I was going to be the next Michael Jackson, and then I was going to be the next Jimmy and Terry. Those are like my music idols. And so I was going to be the next Jimmy and Terry, and I was going to be the songwriter, and I was going to write songs for everybody, and you know. And that was my plan. So I actually had no intentions of even going to college. But anyway, long story short, got a scholarship to college, and then finished my degree, then got a master's because I graduated in 92, which was during the Bush recession, the first Bush recession, and there were no jobs. So I said, okay, well, I guess I'll go back and get another degree. So I wind up amassing another master's. And so when I got called, when I received the Lord as my Savior and got called when I was like 25, I went to Bible college, and I've told that story before, but you know, I had no interest in getting another degree because really all I wanted to do was get people saved, get people filled with the Holy Spirit, cast out demons, and lay hands on people for healing. And so that was really all I was interested in. That was why I opted to go to a Bible college instead of going to a seminary. So when my friends looked at me and they were like, you're going, I just laughed. But anyway, long story short, I wound up going to Fuller Theological Seminary. And so I had this professor in my systematic theology class. And to be honest with you, I hated that class. I absolutely hated that class. I see why now the Lord had me in there, but I hated it because, you know, he was like one of these type of people who understood the academic side of the scripture, but he didn't understand the spirituality and the relationship of God. And so he would teach this stuff, and my classmates, they would be like, they would just be sitting there like, oh, he's so deep, he's so fascinating. And I would just be rolling my eyes like, gosh, Lord, please get me out of here. But anyway, one day he was teaching, and it's interesting, this professor is like, in the theological community, is renowned. I mean, he's literally renowned. You know, I would tell people, you know, that I had this guy as my professor, and they'd be like, oh, wow, you know. But so we're in class, and he's teaching on prayer. And so he makes a comment. He says, you know, I'm more so surprised when God does answer prayer than when he doesn't answer prayer. He says, I'm more surprised when God does answer prayer than when he doesn't. And then he went through this whole discourse about how basically prayer was really meditative, which it is, but that prayer was basically just for us to commune with God, and so that we could, you know, gain some type of reconciliation in our souls for what's going on. And, you know, so one day I challenged him and I said, well, you know, excuse me, Dr. So-and-so. I'm not going to name his name, but I said, excuse me, Dr. So-and-so. I said, then why in the scripture does Jesus, you know, give all these admonishments for prayer? And he doesn't say prayer is optional or that, you know, prayer is to change us, you know, not to receive from God. It says when you pray, this is what you do. And it's like all over the Bible and all of the Gospels. He has all these different discourses about prayer and people praying and what we should do and how we should expect from him. And so that's what I want to say, is that in that prayer, there's a hope, there's an expectation that God is actually going to do something, that he's actually going to answer our prayers. You know, God is not just wanting us to, you know, we pray something and then, oh, okay, well, I'm going to see what God does, or, you know, we'll see what happens. No, God is wanting us to have an earnest expectation that when we pray for something, that we expect it to happen. And then as we see in Romans, in that scripture in Romans, he says, then we execute patience as we wait for the manifestation of what we're praying for to come to pass. God wants to answer your prayers. God wants to answer your prayers. You remember the scripture says in 1 John, I think it's 5, it says, this is the confidence, 1 John 5, it says that this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we pray anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know that we have the petitions that we ask of. So the scripture says right there that there is a confidence that we should have and praying, because if we pray anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know that we have the petitions that we ask of. Now, I can hear some of you saying now, you're saying, well, how do I know if it's his will? Well, if it's anything according to if it's anything in the Bible, it's his will. So you don't have to ask and say, okay, Lord, is it your will to heal me? Yes. The scripture says, by his stripes you're healed. You know, sicknesses of the devil. God doesn't need to give you sickness to try to teach you something. Oh, well, you know, the Lord, you know, through my cancer, God taught me, you know, I learned. Now, I'm not saying that we can't learn things through trials and tribulations. We see even in the book of Job that Job learned things through his suffering. But it wasn't God that caused Job to suffer. It was the enemy. You know, scripture says it this way, that we have an enemy that goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And it says that the enemy is the enemy that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So if it's anything, anytime you're seeing killing, you're seeing stealing, or you're seeing any type of destroying, it's the devil. It's not God. God doesn't want to kill you. He doesn't want to destroy you. He's not trying to put pain and trying to cause you to suffer. You know, so we can expect God to do those things according to his word. And his word says that he wants you healed. God says he wants you blessed. God says he wants you. You know, it's like people say, they'll say, well, I don't know, but I'm wanting God to give me a car, but I don't know if he'll do it. Why would God not give you a car? You need transportation. They say, well, I won't believe in God for a house, you know, but I don't know if God will give it to me. Why would God not give you a house? You know, the scripture says, you know, that he's concerned about everything that you're concerned about. It says that even the very hairs on your head are numbered. So why would God not bless you with a house? But see, a lot of times we don't receive from God. And listen, I'm preaching to myself just like I am to you. A lot of times we don't receive from God because we don't expect God to do anything. We say, okay, well, God, I believe you, and I believe your word, but we don't really expect that he'll actually do what it is that we pray for. And so now we have to, when we pray, we have to expect, we have to have a hope. We have to have high hopes, high hopes. We have to have high hopes that God is going to bless us and do what it is that we're expecting him to do. Amen? So then in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, it says, or saith he altogether for our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that plows shall plow in hope. Or in other words, you could say it this way, we should work in hope. And that he that threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope. So we should have an earnest hope and an earnest expectation, you know, that even that in our lives that things are going to get better. You say, oh, Brother Kai, you don't know what I've been through. No, I don't know what you've been through, but I know what God can bring you through. You know, and guys, let me share something with you. All of this stuff, I'm not preaching from theory. I'm preaching from personal experience. You know, I've been in situations just like you have where I've had to wrestle with my faith and you know, and I've had to wrestle and believe God for my healing and God healed me. Or I had to believe God for a financial miracle and God gave it to me. You know, I had to believe that God would work something out in my family and God did it, you know. So it's an expectation. It's an expectation and believing that what we pray for, God is actually going to do. Now, 1 Corinthians 13:7. I'm going to tell you guys my foundation scripture in the next scripture. But 1 Corinthians 13:7 is talking about love. You know, the scripture is talking about love. And it says, love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. So one of the elements of how we activate, you know, the spirit of hope is through love. And that love comes from our faith in Jesus Christ. So we have a love of Jesus Christ and a love for his people. And it's that love that motivates us and is the energy that allows us to hope in things. Because, you know, if I have a revelation that God loves me, then I have a hope and an understanding that I know he's going to do what he said he was going to do. You know, I had a good natural father. My father has passed now. But, you know, growing up, you know, my dad, when he said he was going to do something, he did it. And so, you know, I'm going to integrate something here right now, and it's something kind of touching, I'm going to make it real practical for you. You know, we just had the passing of Prince, and you know, the artist Prince, Roger Nelson. And when Prince died, I just had this sadness, and I couldn't figure out why. I couldn't put my finger on it. And yes, I was a Prince fan, but you know. But you know, I've never been like one of these type of people that was just like a celebrity junkie or somebody that just went crazy over celebrities. But for some reason, when I heard that he died, I was just so grieved and sad about it. And so I kept trying to figure out, why am I so sad about this? And obviously, I was sad about the life of Prince. You know, I truly believe, and you know, if you don't agree with me, that's fine. That's your choice. But I truly do believe, you know, that in his last days, Prince knew the Lord. I mean, because it's very obvious from the good works that he did. You know, Prince actually, you know, donated money to a lot of charitable events, and because of his faith, he never wanted people to know that he, you know, that he helped people. You know, when Lauryn Hill went to jail, the first thing Prince did was he said, "Where are her kids? Where are her kids?" And Prince actually sent money to the family, you know, to take care of Lauryn Hill's kids while she was in jail. Or there's a charter school that's in Minneapolis, you know, for disadvantaged youth. And they said that Prince basically paid for that school. I mean, that he gave hundreds and hundreds, if not millions of dollars into that school. Well, anyway, I believe that Prince in his later years came to know the Lord. But besides his life, I kept trying to figure out why I felt so sad. You know, and I'm making a point, y'all. I'm connecting natural fathers to our spiritual fathers, and when our fathers make a promise, how in our expectation and what it does to grow in our motivation and love for the Lord. So Purple Rain had came out, and my dad, I had asked my dad, could I go to the concert? And so me and my brother, he bought us tickets. My dad bought us tickets, and that was not easy to do because the concert, you know, it was just selling out. Prince was just like really, really hot then, and so dad got us the tickets. Well, lo and behold, so Prince came for two nights, and the first night. And we had tickets for the second night. The first night, you know, it snowed, but Prince said, you know, I'm still gonna do the show. And then the second night, you know, you had what you call black ice, where the ice had basically covered the streets, and so it was very hard to travel. And I lived in a little small town near Memphis. We were like an hour away from where Prince was performing. The weather forecast had told everybody to stay off the streets. You know, you don't need to travel. It was questionable weather. Prince was going to actually perform that night, and finally, you know, he did, like around 1 o'clock, he announced on the radio that he was going to perform. And I remember to this day, my dad, he drove me and my brother in the ice, you know, all the way to Memphis to see Prince. And, you know, while we were in the concert, he stayed outside the Coliseum and waited for about 3 hours. And he stayed outside in the cold while we, oh, boy, I'm getting a little emotional now. He stayed out in the cold while we went to go see Prince. You know, that's a father's love. And we had an expectation that we were going to see Prince, and Daddy had promised us that he was going to take us to see Prince. And through the snow and the ice and the bad weather, he stayed outside so we could go see Prince. You know, and I get really emotional about that. And so when Prince died, you know, it wasn't just the passing of a great artist, a great man, a great believer, but it was also a connection, you know, to my life and my upbringing and my experience with my father. But that was the way my father was, and that's the way even more so our Heavenly Father is. You know, that when He makes a promise, He's going to deliver. When God, you know, when God makes a promise to you, He's going to deliver, and you can expect in strong faith that what it is that He's promised you, that He's going to do it. Amen. And so I just want to encourage you tonight. Whatever it is that you have believing for, I want you to have high hopes. Just dare to believe God. Raise your expectations and believe in expectation that God is going to do what He said He was going to do, and I promise you He'll do it. Just expect Him. Expect Him. Get excited. Don't believe the old saying, you know, oh, I don't want to get my hopes up. No, get your hopes up. Get your hopes up and really expect that God is going to do what He said He's going to do, and I promise you He'll do it. Amen, amen, amen. I didn't mean to cry on on here, but, you know, it really got me emotional as I began to think about the love of our natural fathers and how our natural fathers are a pattern of who our Heavenly Father is. Amen. Some of you, maybe you didn't have, your natural fathers were not everything that you expected them to be. But that's okay. And maybe that's a little bit of the reason why you struggle in your faith, is because maybe you never could depend on your natural father. So it's hard for you to depend on your Heavenly Father. But I promise you, you know, the scripture says that Jesus, He sticks closer to a brother, and we have a Father that loves us in heaven, and that He wants the best things for our life. Amen. I'm going to open up the phone lines. Guest call in 347-996-3442. 347-996-3442. Amen. All right, first caller, your numbers are 7921. You're live on the air with Prophet Kyle.
Hi, Prophet Kyle. I just want to let you know, like, I really enjoyed the message, and, like, it really hit home for me. And I just want prayer.
Amen. What's your first name?
Stephanie,
okay. Father, I thank you so much for Stephanie. What is it again, sir?
It's Cecily.
Cecily, okay. Father, I thank you, Lord, for Cecily. I thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you're doing in her life. Cecily, the Lord says that there is a ministry calling upon your life. The Lord says that there's an evangelistic grace. God says He's going to anoint you to go into places and minister to people who, you know, are not in the church, that they're what some people would call hard to minister, but they're not going to be hard for you, because God says, I'm going to give you a special grace. And God says, even in how I've made you, you know, your appreciation for nice things and nice clothes and things of that nature, God says all of that has been your DNA, because God says You're one who's called to bring those people out of the world into my kingdom. And God says, I'm going to use you in that area. And then God says that you can continually move in that. God says there's even going to come a season where you'll even go into a missionary type ministry, where you'll be going into foreign countries and converting even people groups to my will, says God. So the Lord says there's a lot of study, there's a lot of preparation, there's a lot of things I have in store for you. And God says I'm even going to realign you in your relationships. The Lord says, you know, there's a relationship just recently that you were involved in, it didn't work out like you thought. God says that's okay. God says I've got something better for you. So the Lord says, as we were teaching tonight, raise your expectations, raise your hopes up, get your hopes up, because God says, I've got great things in store for you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Amen. God bless you. Okay. Next caller, your last four digits of 3395.
Hey, Poppy Kyle.
Hey.
This is Tamara. How are you?
Hey, Tamara. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
Good, good.
Been enjoying
how can
the
I
show.
Help you? Good.
I'm actually glad that I dialed in today, because this is exactly what I needed. Something to I just want prayer as far as my hope and my faith and increasing
mm-hmm,
my faith.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Tamara, God just wants you to know you're right on track. You know, it doesn't look like it from your end, but God
mm-hmm.
said you are right on track. And God says that you're closer than you think. God says just continue to do what you do, because God says it's about to speak volumes. And God says I'm about to put you in contact with somebody that's going to really, really open up your business in a whole new way. And God says it's going to be from this person. God says you're going to see even the curriculum that you've been working on, you're going to find it even being recognized even within your state. God says it's much bigger than what you could ever hope, dream, or imagine. And God says I'm doing it for you because you've been faithful in everything that I've given you. And God says now I'm going to command the wealth to come into your hands, says the Spirit of the living God.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Be encouraged. This is a good time for you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, caller. You're 7410. You're live on there, Beauty Fashions with Prophet Kyle. Hello. Okay. Go on to the next. Caller, you are 0656. You're live and on the air. Hello, hello, hello.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Prophet Kyle.
Hey, who's speaking?
This is Tavares. How you doing?
Oh, hey, Tavares, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. I'm calling in, I thank God, for my birthday on tomorrow. I'm glad about that. And I also wanted to hear what
Amen.
The Lord is saying tonight.
Amen. Well, I will go ahead and give you your birthday prophecy then.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Father, we celebrate Tavares' life and everything that you're doing. And Tavares, the Lord says you're on an exciting pathway to me. The Lord says you've made a lot of sacrifices, and you've given your heart to worship and serve me. And God says because of it, I'm going to allow you to not be ashamed of me. God says you're going to find yourself moving forward in a whole new way, because God says I've got favor coming around the corner. And God says this favor hunger is going to overtake you in a whole new way. And God says you're going to find people just begin to say, hey, man, you know, I want you to be a part of this. And, hey, I want you to get involved in this. And God says that there will be some challenges because some of the things that people are going to offer you are going to sound good. And some of them are actually going to be good, but they're not necessarily good for where I'm taking you. So God says it's going to take, you know, some discernment and some prayer on your behalf to determine what it is that you need to move forward and what it is that you don't. But God says there's a lot of new opportunities that are going to come in your way. And God says, we've talked before about your ministry calling, but I see like speaking engagements. But I think these speaking engagements are going to be, closely related to your profession. You'll be going speaking different places and sharing with people different things, and I know this already not by the Spirit, but through our counseling, concerning your career and law enforcement, and God saying that, you're going to be called upon to go different places, and God says for a season, you will be the face, of the organization. So whenever they need a representative to go out and speak on different things, God says you're going to be that person that goes and does. And so you're going to be going to a lot of civic groups and churches and schools and things of that nature. And God says all of this will be part of the preparation for your ministry. So the Lord says, know that the purposes that I have for you are sure, and know that the promises are yes and amen. You know, God says it's time for you to begin to start, asking me for bigger things. You know, Lord says sometimes you look and you say, well, I won't ask for that. That's just too big. That's just too out there. But God says, ask for the big things, because God says those are the things that I want to bring and I want to do in your life, and I want to solidify those things so that when you look and you reflect on these things that have happened, you can look and you can say without a shadow of a doubt that God did it, because it was much greater than anything that you could have manifested on your own, says the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Well, Tavares, thank you again for your support in the ministry, and I appreciate you.
Anytime, Prophet Cal. Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you. And I hope you have an awesome day tomorrow.
Oh, God bless you, and thank you. I will.
Yeah, are you doing anything special?
I got a few things, errands to run, and possibly
okay.
Do some things after my wife gets off from work. But
good.
All is well,
yeah.
And I thank God
yeah.
for allowing me to, giving me the gift of life.
Amen. Amen. And y'all do something fun.
Oh yeah. Most definitely.
Yeah. Amen. God bless you.
All right.
Bye bye. All right, caller, your last four digits are 1799.
Hello. Hey. Hello, Prophet.
Hey. How you doing?
This is Catherine.
How you doing, Sister Catherine?
I'm fine. I got a testimony for you.
Oh, good. I love testimonies. Let me hear it.
Well, I was disabled since 97.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, God always looked out for me.
Mm-hmm.
I prayed and I had hope that, Lord, let me live until my baby graduated, because she was only 4 years old when I got disabled. Where I live, I also told the Lord to let me be welcome when she graduated. So I was welcome when she graduated. And so I know, tell everybody that if you have hope and don't let that hope hurt, die, God is going to answer that prayer. Just take on to it and watch him move.
Hallelujah.
Because he did miracles in my life, and I praise him every day for all that he's doing and all that he's continuing to do. Because I'm seeing stuff every day, and I thank him for it.
Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. And so that hope is important, you know, and I know that you know, Catherine, that you've continued to hold on in faith, you know, and continue to expect, and you know, that's why you're receiving the manifestation of things, you know, and I'm sure that you had to execute patience too, didn't you?
Yeah, because I was like, okay, Lord, is it going to take forever? But I wouldn't give up because that's the Lord. No matter what, yeah, I'm trying. But then I got this point that I want to, like, Lord, I can't do this. I was like the point where I wanted to just give up, but he won't let me. But I was trying to do it on my journey. But I would have to start listening to him. So he said, do you want me to hear you or not? I said, yeah. He said, well, I think you got to get up first. So when he tells you to do something, you must obey. For the manifestation to come forth, you must do what he tells you to do when he tells you to do it.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And I enjoy your show, and I'm praise God for you because you are helping many souls out there. And if anybody need help, they just listen and they'll get a word from you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Catherine. Thank you for your support of the ministry, and thank you for your daily encouragements and your prayers, too.
No, you're welcome.
Amen. God bless you. Have a good evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, my next caller is 2384. You're live and on the air, Prophet Kyle, Beauty for Ashes.
God bless you, Prophet Kyle. This is Apostle Jackson. And,
hey, Apostle Jackson,
usual,
how you doing?
Hey, as usual, you were certainly so edifying to my spirit, woman, and I thank God for you. Always
praise
accurate
God.
As you are, and you are such a remnant to the body of Christ, and already you've uplifted me, so bless the Lord for you. And I, too, have a birthday on Sunday. And I'd like to hear what thus saith the Lord, please. And thank
awesome,
you.
Awesome, awesome. Okay, awesome. Well, the Lord is saying to you, Apostle Jackson, that this you are now entering the culmination for the total reason for why you were created. For the Lord said you've walked in parts and you've walked in pieces, and God says all of this was to bring you to the point to where you are now. For the Lord says I'm releasing international ministry into your heart, and the Lord says I'm going to send you into the furthest nations of the earth to preach and to proclaim my gospel. For the Lord says there is a people group that is looking for you, and God says I'm going to even have you working with indigenous populations of people, not only in foreign countries, but even here in the United States. And the Lord says that you will be known as my apostle of love. For the Lord says that you will demonstrate the love that I had for my people, says the Lord. And the Lord says, even as my word has said that, you know, Jesus looked upon the people and he was moved with compassion. And the Lord says, so shall that same compassion be within you. For the Lord says, you've always had a heart for my people. But the Lord says, now you're going to walk in a new level of compassion whereby which the people will be drawn to you because of the love that flows from me to you to them. And the Lord says that presence of my love will be so tangible that people many times when they come into your presence, they will just begin to get joyful. They'll begin to get happy. And some will even begin to weep because they will sense a strong presence of my spirit, and it'll reconcile their heart back to me. And it'll be the love that they've longed and they've searched for so long that they'll now experience because they've come into the manifestation of a true apostle. And the Lord says that much of the suffering that you've encountered and much of the afflictions that you have encountered was all for the express purpose to develop you into that woman of God, whereby which you would walk in my compassion and my love. And some of it, the Lord says, I allowed you to have experientially for the express purpose that you would have a compassion to where you could identify with other people. The Lord says that within you, within your heart, is this seed of justice and righteousness. The Lord said you hate to see people mistreated. You hate to see injustices. And God says, I'm going to give you a, oh, thank you, Lord. God says, I'm going to put place within your hand a rod of correction. And God says this correction is going to come with love, but God says it's going to be extremely powerful. And God says, I'm going to put you in some situations where even I'm going to give you a platform. And God says you'll be even in some situations where I'm going to send you to world leaders. And God says you're going to come with correction. But the Lord says that they'll receive it because it'll be masked and it will be covered and it'll be filled with grace, full of grace seasoned with salt, the Lord says. But God says you're going to come with correction on some areas. And God says that even a nation of people will hearken unto your voice. And the Lord says that you'll be what's known as my apostle of love. But God says we're going to come with correction, and that correction is going to bring healing, and that correction is going to bring holiness, and that correction is going to be love, is going to be tempered in love, but baptized in fire, says the Spirit of the living God.
Amen, Prophet. I receive you in the name of Jesus, and thank you, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So the Lord spoke a lot. I would encourage you, you know, when the show is over, to go back to the website, blogtalkradio.com, Prophet Kyle T. Miller, and go back and, you know, you can download this show so that you can go back and reflect on the, you know, reflect on the word.
I will, sir. Thank you.
Amen.
I
God
love
bless you.
You.
Love you too. Love you so much, and thank you for your support.
You're quite welcome.
Yes, ma'am. Bye bye. Okay. My next caller, 0706.
Hi, Prophet Kyle. This is LaVonda. How are you?
Hey, LaVonda. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm calling because I am in the midst of these projects that I'm working on, and I can tell you it has been truly, truly trying. And I am wondering if I am in the midst of something that is of God or not of God. And that's why I'm calling in tonight, Prophet.
Yeah. The scripture, again, I was mentioning earlier, you know, faith, you know, hope makers not ashamed. God says, I'm going to cause you not to be ashamed. God says that has been a there's been a force that's been working against you, but God says, I'm breaking that.
Jesus,
and God
Jesus.
Says, you're going to find things different. God says, within the next week or so, you're going to find some of your opposition begin to dissipate to the point to where some people will even actually walk out. But God says, don't fear. Know that my hand is upon you. And God says, I'm going to cause you to triumph. So God says, know that you know I've put you in this position just for this time. You know, in the biblical analogy that the Lord has given me is Daniel and the Hebrew boys and how they were in the fire. And they refused to compromise, and because of their refusal to compromise and worship and serve a pagan god, that they were put into the fire. But the scripture says that while they were in the fire, Jesus was the fourth man in the midst. And so as you mentioned earlier, being in the midst, God says, yes, you are in the midst, but God says, just as I was with Daniel, Meshach, and Abednego, I'm with you in the midst. So the Lord says, draw upon that power and draw upon the faith that I'm there with you. And God says, as you recognize that I'm there with you, God says you will find yourself that when you come out of the fire, just as Daniel, you'll come out and you'll be finely tuned, you'll be promoted, and you'll come out not even smelling like smoke, says the Spirit of the living God. So, Father, we thank you for it. We thank you for what you're doing in LaVonda's life, and we thank you for victory, 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 victory. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory is mine.
Thank you, Lord.
Victory is mine in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen, and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Prophet. And, Prophet, it has to do with my television project that I've been working on. And I've already had some people walk away from the project because I didn't compromise. And so I just, you know, when you're working on these projects and you're thinking that it's of God, and sometimes, you know, it's just, a, you know, a hope and a dream that you may have yourself. But like you said, we've prayed, we've talked to God. God is in the midst. But this project is one that I believe is needful for this, for our community. And like I said, you're talking about opposition. It's been there present. And I just wanted to make sure that this, I was walking in the pathway that God would have me to walk in, and not that this is something that I have dreamt up myself.
No, you know, the scripture, you know, says God gives us the desires of our heart. And I, for so long, I thought that that meant, you know, that we want to do something and then God will bring it to pass. But and that is part of it. But the other part of it is what that scripture is saying is that God will give us the desires of our heart. And so many of the desires that we have, our kingdom desires that the Lord has placed within us, you know, to cause us to persevere and to seek Him. So that desire that you have is a desire that He put in there. You know, so you don't have to worry about, oh, is this God, is this me, this and that, something else. That's a desire that God put in your heart. And so let me share this with you. When you reconcile that, then the opposition is going to subside. Because you're not going to be in that ping-pongy thing where you're wondering, should I be doing this, should I not? You know, just go ahead and establish, yeah, this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. God gave me the desire to do this. And when you get to that point, all the other obstacles and stuff will fall off. You know, because the scripture says it this way. It says, you know, so as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So however we perceive, That's what we draw to ourselves. So if that's why scripture says, you know, a double-minded man, he's unstable in all his ways, and he'll receive nothing because he's like going back and forth. Okay, is it this? Is it that? Is this and that? So you say, okay, well, this is what God has me to do. So then all the angels start moving towards you. Then you start wondering, well, I'm not sure. So then the angels move away from working on your behalf. Then you're like, oh, well, yeah, it is. And then they start moving. Then so it's this back and forth thing. But once you get it firmly fixed and established, okay, which the prophetic word is confirming to you tonight that you are in the right place, then now you can grab a hold of that. And you'll see that manifestation begin to come to pass quickly, because now you're firmly fixated in a knowledge, and you're rooted in what it is that you know that God has told you to. And see, that's why the prophetic is so important, because it allows us to stay firmly fixated on what God has told us, because the prophetic word comes and confirms, you know, what it is that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to us.
Amen. Thank you. I really needed to hear that word from God. So, again, thank you.
Amen.
And I will be sharing the testimony with you. All right.
Amen.
Have
I'll be looking
evening.
Forward to it. You too.
All
bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye.
Okay. I'm going to go. Okay. All righty. Let me. I see. No, that's a minute and a half. Okay, just making sure I got to everybody. All righty. Well, this concludes our edition of Beauty Fast. I want to thank everyone so much for listening. If I did not get to minister to you prophetically, I'm on every Thursday. And then those of you, you know, who, you know, you just want to make sure that you get a prophetic word, you can always go to my website, prophetkyle.com, and request a word, and I'll minister to you. Also, on my site, I do have an area where you can make prayer requests, you know, so I can pray for you concerning your situations. And then also, too, I've got my itinerary along with my radio show. I'm on in 5 different cities, and there's links directly to each city, so you can listen to my show, you know, from my broadcast and stuff. So, anyway, I love you guys so much. I want to thank you so much for your support in the ministry, and I look forward to spending time with you next week. Bye-bye.